Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell gave a rare interview this morning. He talked with Savannah Guthrie on NBC's Today Show.
I guess that the issue, though, that's been sort of raised in these recent days is the cure worse than the disease? Is shutting down the economy for the sake of public health doing lasting damage to the economy that may not be recoverable? So I guess you're not a doctor, you're an economist, but where do you come down on that debate? Is it better to solve the public health crisis and then let the economy bounce back? Or do you think we should rush into opening the economy back up because, frankly, the damage being done is worse?
So that of course, is not, we're not an expert. We're not experts in pandemics over here. We don't get to make that decision. I would say, though, you know, that we would tend to listen to the experts. Dr. Fauci said something like the virus is going to set the timetable. And that sounds right to me. I think the sooner we get the spread of the virus under control, people will regain confidence. When they become confident that is the case, then they will very willingly open their businesses up, go back to work, the consumer will be spending. So I think the first order of business will be to get the spread of the virus under control and then resume economic activity.
So he said it sounds right to him that the virus is going to set the timetable. Savannah Guthrie also asked him whether he thinks the country is already in a recession.
We may well be in a recession, but I would point to the difference between this and a normal recession. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with our economy. Quite the contrary. The economy performed very well right through February. We've got 50-year low in unemployment for the last couple of years. So we start in a very strong position. This isn't something that's wrong with the economy. This is a situation where people are being asked to step back from economic activity, close their businesses, stay home from work. So in principle, if we get the virus spread under control fairly quickly, then economic activity can resume. And we want to make that rebound as vigorous as possible.
Again, that was Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell this morning on NBC's Today Show. We'll post a link to the full interview at capradio.org/insight. If you are tracking the global movement of COVID-19, you might have already found the website ncov2019.live. This is a comprehensive, easy-to-read site. The site updates every minute. You can see quick facts. Then you can find the number of global cases with a breakdown for the USA, for Europe, Africa, Latin America, China, Canada, and Australia. And millions of people all over the world have visited the site. It was created by a Seattle teenager, 17 years old. He is Avi Schiffman. He's joining us by phone. Hi, Avi.
Hello.
Glad to have you on Insight. Will you tell me the story about your website? Where does this all begin?
Sure. I started my website a long time ago, back in mostly early January kind of times when there was less than 1,000 cases and they were all in like the Wuhan area of China. And I noticed that it was just really hard to get information. You know, if you wanted the most up-to-date numbers, you'd have to read like Chinese government websites. And if you wanted to just read news articles, you know, by the time you read them, they were all out of date. So I thought it would be kind of cool if I made a website that kind of pulled everything from like those Chinese sources and just made a visually appealing and easy to use website. And since then, you know, it's exploded in traffic and, you know, I've been working on it every single day and I guess it's evolved into what it is today.
I've heard you say in some interviews, Avi, that maybe you were looking at this around Christmas time and you must have become aware in this last week or two that you may have been looking at data earlier than the Trump administration was. How does that register with you?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was working on it a long time ago, like late December kind of times, it was very different. I mean, it was less like tracking numbers and more kind of like aggregating stuff because, you know, there was barely any information back then. But, you know, as time went on, it was easier to do things. I mean, when I started this, mostly it was like within January kind of times. You know, there was barely any sources to find information, but now there's like over 173 countries infected or something like that. And there's still, like, every single second there's, like, you know, another news article from somewhere. So it's a lot easier to track now. But back then it was a very different kind of website and thing. I think I've rewritten the entire code, like, 5 times by now.
Have you? When did you learn coding and from whom?
Yeah, I mean, so I've been programming for like about a decade by now, which is really crazy because I'm only 17.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything I know is just self-taught. I've just watched YouTube videos. I mean, you can learn anything online. You can learn underwater basket weaving, and there's so much like stuff out there. I mean, any question you have, you know, 20 people already have the exact same question. So it's very easy, in my opinion, these days to learn almost anything you want online. There's just so many great resources. So, yeah.
So how did it happen? You just started seeing numbers out of China and it piqued your interest and you thought, oh, I could work with this. I could play with this. Or were you actually thinking about the disease, the outbreak?
I mean, I thought this would continue to spread. I mean, I never thought it would spread this big. I mean, I never thought it would be like a global pandemic and, you know, the entire world would kind of like shut down. But, I mean, when I started working on this website, you know, I really wanted to just make an easy way to find information if people were, you know, interested in this outbreak. And I also, you know, wanted to just, you know, make another website. You know, I just like making more things. And I wanted to practice the web scraping technology it uses. But, I never expected it to become this big. And it's interesting sometimes, too. I mean, you can watch the website traffic grow as the virus spreads. So let's say it spreads to Germany. Then, you know, I get a big spike in German visitors and, you know, a lot of, like, German media requests. So that has also been interesting.
I want to ask you so many questions at once.
Sure.
Let me go back to the point about this virus spreading. Your mm-hmm. state, Washington State, has been hit really hard. I know you're on Mercer Island, but do you remember that reality when this virus that you'd been tracking overseas was no longer overseas? It was in your state?
Yeah, I remember that being kind of terrifying, to be honest, because, you know, I've been watching this for a long time. And so I was just kind of watching as an outsider, like, oh, look, it's happening all the way in Asia. You know, I've never even been to Asia. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, oh, it's in, like, Seattle. And I, like, live in, like, Seattle-ish area. So, you know, that was kind of interesting because, you know, in my generation, there's never been, like, a global pandemic. And the only big world event I can think of would be, like, 9/11. But that was, you know, nobody my age was really even alive or, like, even remembers that. So it's interesting that this is the first big, like, world event for my generation. And I also think what's really cool is that we're at the point where technology can easily be used with things like global health. I mean, when SARS came out like a while ago, or even Ebola, you know, there wasn't like a website you could go to track it like every minute or so that, you know, worked great on a smartphone. I mean, smartphones barely even like existed. So I think it's really cool.
I'm talking with Avi Shiffman. He's 17 years old. He is the creator of ncov2019.live, a very popular, very easy COVID-19 global case tracking website. Now I want to go back to you gathering information earlier on. What were some reliable sources and how's that evolved? Mm-hmm. What's your criteria now for a reputable data source?
Yeah, I mean, so the majority of the information comes from local government websites. So, I don't know, let's say Korea, you know, they have like their local government ones and every single Chinese province has like their own and then, you know, it's expanded. What's also interesting about that, though, is, you know, you can only trust those numbers so much. Sometimes it's interesting to see the numbers change. But and then there's some news articles they get the information from. So, I don't know, let's say Korea, you know, Yonhap is known as a reputable news source, I believe. And so there's a lot of people that help, I guess, curate that kind of stuff. Like, you know, you don't get that much information maybe from cable news networks like CNN or Fox or something. And it would mainly be things like, you know, Reuters or, you know, AP News and that kind of stuff in other countries as well. So that is where it gets information from, like, news places. So,
So the site updates every minute, and you use the phrase web scraping, and you mm-hmm. are actually tracking not only the locations, but these columns of information, including the place, the confirmed cases, how it's changed, mm-hmm. how many died, how many people recovered, and how many are serious. Will you describe the team that you're using and then that term web scraping, too?
Sure. So web scraping is basically a way to, like, let's say there's one of those Korean government websites. You know, they might have, like, a table of information there. And in that like table, they have numbers that they update every couple hours. And what I'm able to do is basically download that table and then take those numbers from there and add it to a much larger data set that has all the numbers for all the countries. And then I'm able to just display it easily, you know, on my website, you know, just fill out like a table. And that's basically how that works. I mean, web scraping is pretty simple to do, except that, you know, a lot of things change format a lot, which causes a lot of problems.
So it's you in Mercer Island. You're out of school right now, so you can work on this. Who else is with you?
Yeah, I mean, it is mostly me. I mean, some people, you know, help me with programming questions sometimes, but, you know, 99.99% of it is, you know, me. And, you know, I'm the one that's going through like 6,000 emails every day. And, you know, between interviews, I'm just working on the website. So, yeah.
Avi, under each heading, you have a slide bar that shows the percentage of people who have recovered. I don't think that was there at the beginning. It's very eye-catching, and it definitely gives a tone. So tell me about prioritizing that piece of data.
Sure. So what's interesting about the recovered numbers is that, you know, that wasn't there for the first month or so. I got a lot of emails a while ago saying that the site was kind of negative, you know. It was just showing, you know, how many people were infected and how many people were dying. So I thought it would help make the site, you know, give people more hope if I showed how many people were recovering, because, you know, there are a lot of people that do. So I started working on that, and now, you know, you can find the recovered numbers for every single country. And you'll notice that, like, you know, China, you know, almost everyone has recovered so far just because they did a good job with their quarantine, to be honest. And you're able to see the effects of that. So I think that in the future, it'll give people a lot more positivity, or maybe more, make them more optimistic of the outcome when they see that so many people start recovering. I mean, I think there's more than 100,000 total now that have recovered, which is really nice. So,
yeah, it's interesting that China does have a 92% recovery rate. The number of deaths, according to your site.
I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's not like a rate of how, like, if you get infected, you'd, you know, have a 92% of
right.
Recovery.
It's but, not you know, your chance by now, of recovery. Yeah.
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 By now, I mean, China, they started having infections in like November, I think, or something. So it's been a lot longer. So a lot more people in China have recovered than, let's say, you know, New York State, because the outbreak in New York State is pretty recent. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at California, and we knew that sometime today California would cross the 3,000 case number. So your site shows 3,180 cases, which is an increase of 6.07%. And you're showing 67 deaths, which is an even more updated number in California than I've been seeing reported.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting sometimes because, you know, one of the big reasons why I started this is also just because if you were to even read, like, the WHO or something, I mean, they update, like, a PDF, like, once every day, and by the time you read it, it's so out of date. You know, they only upload it, like, every 24 hours. And, I mean, now that there's so many countries infected, you know, they're not waiting for the WHO to release their PDF. So all these numbers drastically change by the time, you know, a WHO or, like, a CDC releases that kind of stuff. So, you know, I thought that, you know, not, and also not everybody knows how to download a PDF and sort through government kind of stuff to read their kind of ugly looking table. So I think that is a big part of my website, you know, how just visually appealing it is. You know, the colors are nice, but everything kind of matches up. And, you know, you're on a phone, the first thing that you're able to see, you know, is just a quick fact, you know, how many people are infected. You know, it should be easy to get that kind of information these days, so. Yeah,
it's very telling in these times if you say the WHO and you think it's a rock band as compared to the World Health Organization, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting to see. You know, I think a lot of these governments do a lot of more ancient things. And so I thought it was interesting that, you know, I thought I could do a better job than what they were doing. You know, people should be able to get the information as fast as possible. And then maybe, you know, next time there's a pandemic, the WHO will make their own tracker. I mean, they made one like eventually, but, you know, it takes forever to update and stuff. So
what else do you want to do with the site? I get the sense that you're continually evolving it, perhaps expanding it.
So, I mean, I'm adding new features like all the time. Like every single day, there's like a new feature. And then I have a lot more things planned. there's going to be graphs, you know, vaccine trackers. Let me just think.
What would a vaccine tracker be?
Sure. I mean, so there's a lot of places around the world, you know, there's a lot of private companies and a lot of governments, you know, working on a possible cure, or, you know, antivirals and that kind of stuff. And so a lot of these places or a lot of these medicines are, you know, different clinical trials, and there's a lot of information. So I thought it would be kind of, you know, another thing to give people more hope would be to have like a vaccine tracker page where you could just monitor the progress of all of these vaccines and antivirals and just all kinds of preventative measures around the world. I thought that would be pretty cool. Just, you know, show people that, you know, there are efforts being made out there to, you know, help stop this. So, yeah.
So the site is named ncov2019.live, but it sounds like you have more applications. Any thought about changing the name of the site?
Yeah, so I would like to change it to a website domain I bought called germtracker.com to make it more easily, you know, you can say it easier and remember it easier. What's interesting about the domain is that a lot of people, you know, think about it as COVID-19 now, but ncov2019 actually used to be the unofficial name of the virus because I just started it so long ago. So that's why the domain is kind of funky, but yeah, soon it will be, you know, a more easily, you know, more memorable domain. So, because I know that sometimes it's pretty hard to remember that. But, you know, I never expected the website to take off this much. So I never thought that would be a problem. But, yeah.
How many million views have you had now?
Yes, and that is about 250 million total visitors, which is a lot. And then in the past 24 hours, there's been about 25 million. And, like, at any given point, there's about 30,000 users on a site. So it's a lot of traffic, and it's very interesting to learn how to manage such a high-traffic website.
Where's the majority of traffic in the last 24 hours or so?
So another interesting thing about the stats is that only about half my traffic is from the United States. You know, there is plenty of traffic from places like Germany, Taiwan. I think Taiwan is, like, my second most traffic source. So, you know, as the virus spreads, you're able to see, you know, all kinds of countries, you know, have their spikes. And another thing that's cool is that, you know, every single day I get at least one visitor from every single country on Earth, which is just really cool. So,
So Avi, one last question. I'm interested in your sense of the contribution that you're making to world history with what you've built.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's really cool that, you know, we're at the point where technology is so easily accessible that, you know, some kid can just make a website that's able to help people internationally around the entire world. I mean, it's just really cool. And I think that, you know, in the future, you know, the next time there's a pandemic and earthquake and, you know, all these kinds of big world events, you know, there's so many great ways we can use technology. And I'm glad that I can inspire a lot more young people to, you know, maybe learn how to code and make their own cool thing. So,
by the way, yeah. have you heard from any of the leading scientists or the leading investigational groups right now? Is anyone interfacing with you?
Yeah, I haven't, like, directly contacted me, but I was told that a lot of people in the CDC and the WHO are aware of my website, so maybe they'll contact me. That would be kind of cool. But yeah.
Well, it's great to meet you over the phone. Thank you so much for this tool, which we've used too. I think it's terrific. It's one of my two go-to sources right now. And I so appreciate all that you were able to give us with your talent and your time and your skill.
Cool. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk again, Avi. Be nice to track what you are doing in your future. All right, thanks.
Hopefully the next time is something interesting as well. So
it will be. All right, take care, Avi. That's Avi Schiffman from Mercer Island outside Seattle. We're going to take a short break, and then we have an uplift coming at you. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.